for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
John 14, 1 to 6. Jesus comforting the disciples. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And again tonight, just focusing on the I ams and this I am statement of Jesus. I am the life. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Life is a really important theme in the Gospel of John. He mentions it 36 times in his Gospel. And in fact, in his closing summary at the end of the Gospel, when he's talking about the purpose of his Gospel, he says in John 20, 31, "But these are written," that's all the miraculous signs of Jesus, "these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." And the same theme again in his letters in 1 John. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." For John, having life is the main point. And the kind of life that John's describing, it's quality. It's not just biological life, you know, natural life. He's not talking about that. John is talking about real life, true life. And so his meaning is much deeper than just breathing and existing day to day. It's what Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," or abundant life. For many people, life is just an existence. Getting through each day's a struggle. Day to day and living for the weekend or living for the next holiday. But God has so much more for us. God offers us life, real life in Jesus. And it doesn't just start when we leave planet Earth, as some people maybe believe. The gift of eternal life starts the moment we put our trust in Jesus. Because at that moment, he infuses his life into us, into our very being, and he is life himself. Last week I read a couple of verses, and I will again tonight, from John chapter 1, the prologue of John. "In the beginning was the Word," Jesus, "and the Word was with God," Jesus was with God, "and the Word," Jesus, "was God. He was with God in the beginning." I love this. "Through him," through Jesus, "all things were made." Wow, we're talking about life right there. "Without him, nothing was made that has been made." Listen to verse 4. "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." So if somebody said to you, "Who is Jesus?" There's a good answer. Jesus is life. He's the very life of God. He is the source, actually, of all life. And that is why he can give eternal life to everybody who believes on him, because he is eternal life. He is life eternal. John 5:26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Those verses are a very important commentary on what the verses that we have read tonight in John 14. The thing to notice is this. Jesus is not just the way to life, or even just the one who gives spiritual life. Jesus is life in himself. And that's why he's the way. So the life that we receive from Jesus isn't just a better version, you know, of what you have now, an updated version. It's like the iPhone. I don't know what the first iPhone was. Was the iPhone 2? Was that the first one? It was iPhone 1. Was it called that? Does anybody know? Anyway, they keep bringing out new ones, and it's all a scam to get your money, I'm sure. Says me, who knows nothing really about phones. But anyway, I know when they give a new version out, it's got all the latest updates, it can support new apps, as if I know what I'm talking about, and all of that stuff. Some people think that's what Jesus does. You know, he just gives you a sort of better version of what you've already got. But he doesn't. With Jesus, we get his life. That's not just an updated version or a better version of what we've got. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's powerful. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This has come home to me so forcefully as I was preparing to speak tonight, because sometimes people get the impression that Christianity is believing certain truths about Jesus and maybe making a personal commitment to Jesus and following him. And that's true. You do need to believe certain truths about Jesus. We do need to make a definite personal commitment to follow Jesus. But fundamentally, it's deeper than that. Surely, at its very heart, Christianity is about receiving the very life of Jesus Christ by grace through faith. And the whole context here, Jesus speaking in John 14, is about Jesus saying to his disciples that you cannot come to the Father except through him. There is only one way. He is the truth, and he is the life. He has that life in himself as the Son of God, and he gives it to everyone who believes. Now, you know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has placed eternity in the hearts of all people. I think that is such a powerful verse. You're talking to people and they say, oh, I don't believe in God, and I don't believe this, and I don't believe that. You encourage yourself. That person is not beyond the Spirit working on them, because God has placed eternity in their hearts. He has put an inbuilt longing in every person to have assurance of eternal life. That's why people fear death. Because if you don't have assurance of eternal life, if you don't have hope, if you don't know where you're going, you're going to fear that. And so many people know that physical death is not the end, but they don't know where they're going. They have no assurance, and so it's a terrifying thought. But God's offer of life, eternal life, what wonderful news we have to offer people. But you know, it needs to be presented in a truthful way. Jesus states here that he and he alone is the life. No one, he says, absolutely no one, no exceptions, no one, from the highest king to the lowliest pauper, no one comes
to God the Father except through Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. I'm sure it hasn't escaped your notice. When people speak about death quite often these days, they say things like, heaven has gained another angel. Or, you know, they're up there, they're a new star in the sky. I mean, it's nonsense. But it's like happy, comforting thoughts to soften the reality of the awful blow of death. People try to say those kinds of things to hide from the reality, but they're meaningless because only in Jesus is life found. And yet, Jesus said these words, and within a few short hours, Jesus was hanging dead on a Roman cross. I wonder when the disciples were all gathered there around that cross, standing looking, I wonder when they looked on the lifeless form of Jesus, bloodied, bruised, broken. I wonder did they look and wonder, how could he be the way and the truth and the life? In those moments they were filled with grief and despair and fear, and they couldn't grasp the bigger picture of what God was achieving for them on that cross. But you know something? On the third day, he rose again. And in 40 days, he ascended to the Father. And there from the presence, or in the presence of the Father, he poured out the promised Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit was poured into their hearts, all this teaching that Jesus had given them, it came together and they understood through his death, we can experience his life. Isn't it wonderful? We have life in Jesus because of his death. His death is our life. I want to read, and Dave's going to put up some verses from Ephesians chapter 2, the first 9 verses. Because in death, he was dealing with everything that keeps us from experiencing true spiritual life. Ephesians 2, 1 to 9. Paul says, but as for you and me, us, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. So that was us, dead, transgressions and sins. And then Paul says, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. So we were dead, spiritually dead as a dodo, because of our transgressions and sins. And because of that, and because of our sinful nature, we were objects of the wrath of God. God's judgment was hanging over us, the Bible says, because God is too pure to look at sin, and our sin was there. But then, that's the bad news, but then verse 4, the good news. And what good news? But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, get your head around that. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And I love this next verse. This really makes me ponder. In order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. See that bit there? That in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. What do you think that means? Do you reckon there might be some testimony time in heaven? And God just picks somebody out and he just begins to show to us in some way, show to all the rest of us, look how I worked in that person's life. Look what I took them from. Look how I led them along in their life's journey through all their falterings and ups and downs. And look how I just kept pouring my grace in. Oh, his riches to us. We were dead. We were by nature objects of wrath. And God made us alive in Christ Jesus when we were dead in our transgressions. Praise his name. This is why the claims of Jesus are absolutely exclusive. There's no other way to God apart from Jesus. There is no other truth apart from the truth of Jesus. There is no other spiritual life apart from in Jesus. Those are uncomfortable statements in our age of tolerance. I think we live in days a bit like the summary of the days of the judges at the end of the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And the prophet Isaiah, we all like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way. People want to make their own decisions about how they come to God. Some try out different religions, or maybe a mix of different elements from different religions. Others take the more unconventional route of maybe meditation or crystals or something. Others work hard at trying to improve themselves, doing charity work, helping the poor, trying to please God. And some stick to the well-worn path of going to church, reading the Bible, praying in an attempt to reach God. But Jesus makes it absolutely clear. None of them is the way to God. These activities can give people a temporary sense of calm, even of peace. They all have an element of the feel-good factor, but they cannot and they can never give spiritual life, because only in Jesus. All these other things are about us, about our efforts to reach God, or even to feel good about ourselves on a spiritual level, but ultimately they're deception, because nothing will bring us to God apart from Jesus, because only Jesus deals with the fundamental problem of humanity, which is our sin, the root cause. That's what separates us from God. So no amount of religion, good deeds, morality, or any other thing can deal with our sin. But on the cross, Jesus paid the price, not just to forgive us our sins, but to bring us to God. Because that's what it is. It's not just about forgiving the past. It's about bringing us to God. All our human effort leads to nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Because of what Jesus did, we have the right. That sounds a funny word, but the right to be children of God. What a truth. What a truth. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You find that amazing? That you, and I'm sure you know what a sinner you are and have been, as I know what I have been and am. And yet I have been given the right, because I believe in Jesus, to be a child of God. Wonderful. And in this context here of John 14, and Jesus speaking about the Father's house, and he was going to the Father's house, and he was preparing a place for us. Surely that gives us great confidence. We're not going to the Father's house as a visitor, or as a customer, or even on an extended holiday or break. We are going to the Father's house, and it will be our home. Our home. Somebody said to me this morning, they were speaking about the home that they were brought up in, and said it was a very, very poor home. But they said the thing about homes in those days were, I mean, people hadn't much money, but it was a home. It wasn't somewhere for people to come into and say, whoa, this is a grand place you've got. It was just a home. And I was thinking about that, you know, somewhere where you go in and you sit down and you don't worry about crumbs and you don't worry about messing up the cushions and you don't worry about a book on the floor and you don't worry about a bit of dust or whatever. You know, it's home and you're comfortable. He's gone to our Father's home. And he is there preparing for us, for our home, for your home. Isn't that wonderful? Our home, because we're God's children. And what is the life he gives to us? Well, as I've already said, it's himself. He is the life. He gives us himself. And that's what the Bible makes it plain when we put our trust in him. What does he do? Does he not come to live in us by his Holy Spirit? That is the life of Jesus within us. In our mortal bodies, that blows me away. In our mortal bodies, if you are a believer, you have the life of Jesus within you. Does that blow your mind? You have the life of Jesus within you. So our bodies, they may die. But if you are a Christian, your spirit will never die. Never. Because you have Jesus' life in you. He has given you eternal life. And it's not just at the end, it's now already. I write these things to you who believe so that you will know that you have eternal life. It's present tense. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's thank him for the life he's given to us. And when we are in this world, let us share the message that in Jesus is life. Life is not in religion. It's not even in the church. Life is in Jesus alone. It's him. He is the one. He bought it for us, and he gives his life to us. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we become so familiar with the words that they lose their impact. But Lord, to know that you are the life and that your life is in us who believe in you. So powerful, so powerful. Lord, I pray for everyone here who is a believer, that as we walk forward into this week, that we would remember that we are not on our own. Lord, your life is within us. We are carriers of the divine life within us. Lord, I pray that that river of life will not only flow through us, but from us, and that others may see the river of life and be attracted, Lord, to you through us. Lord, may we point people to you, the source of all life, the eternal one, life in himself. I pray for any, Lord, who may be here who don't yet know you. Oh God, that this night they would turn to you for life, everlasting life. Oh, stir our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you hung on that cross. The disciples saw you there, Lord, and you were broken. You were bruised and you were bloodied, Lord. And they were heartbroken and they were fearful and they were in despair because they couldn't grasp it. They couldn't understand it at that moment. But Lord, in not many days from then, they were fearlessly preaching everywhere they went, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh God, may your Spirit stir our hearts that we will fearlessly, in this generation that we live in of tolerance, Lord, and but intolerant to these claims, may we fearlessly make known the words of eternal life, that Jesus is the only way to God.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.